Hey everybody, this is Dave from Talking Backwards. We're glad to have you with us for season 3 of our show and the return of Twin Peaks. Before we kick the season off, we wanted to take a moment to recognize our wonderful patrons who have helped so much in making Talking Backwards possible. Those are the folks who have supported us by going to patreon.com/talkingbackwards and subscribe to one of our various reward tiers. We've had a blast getting to know our supporters during our exclusive live streams and watch parties, and the show really wouldn't be what it is now without them. So once again, a big, sincere thank you. Patrons have also had early access to the season's episodes, just like the one you're about to hear. Another quick note, this time around, we will be releasing our public feed episodes every 2 weeks instead of weekly. However, we are, of course, working to have some bonus content on the patron feed between those releases. For anyone not subscribed, you still get access to all of our previous episodes and the season's bi-weekly releases. That content is free and always will be. So thank you, patrons. Hello, new listeners. And if you've been with us from the start, thank you and welcome back. We hope you enjoyed this season of Talking Backwards. Welcome back to Talking Backwards, a Twin Peaks podcast for season 3, The Return.
Wow. Wow. Wow, Dave, wow.
Wow, Dave, wow.
We're here, guys.
I can't.
This is so surreal.
This is so surreal.
Guess that was cute.
Thanks. We've been practicing.
It is so, so real that we're here.
It is so real.
The Return.
Yeah.
I'm Dave Jackson, joined by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
And Tyler Mullins.
Yes.
Of course, talking about part one, or my log has something to tell you.
Oh, you want the Pat stats on this?
I am about to ask for the Pat stats.
Oh, we can do that.
Haul out your boy for some Pat stats, stats.
We've trimmed it down for season 3.
That's so good.
Yeah, 3 seconds instead of 12 seconds.
That's so much better.
Yeah. So this is part 1 of Twin Peaks The Return, aka season 3 episode 1, aka my log has a message for you from Twin Peaks the limited event series. Enough titles for you.
Well, it was actually so many titles that I think I said it wrong the first time. So I'm glad to have you on board for the Pat stats.
It's clunky, obviously.
What'd you say? My log has something to say.
Yeah, probably something like that. Yeah,
it is clunky at best. And I mean, I put a poll on our Twitter a few weeks ago about what do you call this? Because I've always called it The Return. Some people do strictly call it season 3. Hardly anyone has ever called it a limited event series, but that is what it's advertised as. Like even on the box set, it doesn't say anything about season 3 or The Return. It's like Twin Peaks, a limited event series. It's like, what is it?
It's kind of as far as things airing goes, it's kind of a soft reboot, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a continuation of this story, just 25 years.
They did something similar with Voltron.
Oh.
Never heard of it.
Mm.
But yeah, it took a while for this to come about. So I won't have to say this every time. Every episode of The Return is directed by David Lynch. Mm. Every episode is written by David Lynch and Mark Frost. We can get that out of the way. I don't have to.
What about every time.
Unless you want to.
What about Mr. Dunham?
Oh, Dwayne Dunham. He edits every episode of The Return.
Wow. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Just
pretty great.
Wow.
So yeah, there were always rumors and hopes that the show would come back in some way in the years that followed. I think probably 2012, 2013 rumors really started ramping up. I think the rumors came about the missing pieces finally coming out, and you were getting closer to that 25 year, later mm-hmm. point in the story that, I think everyone just was clinging on to hope, and right. I get it. I think Lynch, of course, is not just going to straight out say anything's coming back. Someone asked him at the Luca Film Festival, about Twin Peaks, and he replied a very vague, like, well, it's a tricky question. There's always a possibility. And you'll just have to wait and see. And that was way more than anything he had ever said prior. He was always saying dead as a doornail, like not going to happen.
That's a doorknob.
Dead as a doorknob. Yeah. But then on October 3rd, 2014, at 11:30 a.m., if you remember 11:30 a.m.
I do.
In the Twin Peaks universe is the time that Dale Cooper entered Twin Peaks.
No.
I did not. You don't remember him telling Diane that?
I do now that you say it.
Okay. Okay. Well, Mark Frost and David Lynch posted on Twitter at the exact same time. They said,
that's cute.
Yeah. They, yeah.
You think they planned that?
It's highly unlikely. As Cooper always said, when two separate events occur simultaneously pertaining to the same object of inquiry, we must always pay strict attention.
Hmm. Sounds like a double to me.
Yeah.
First double of the season.
Yeah.
Before the Pat stats are over.
Yeah. Wow. The tweet said, "Dear Twitter friends, that gum you like is going to come back in style. Hashtag damn good coffee." What a tease.
A bubble drug.
Not so much a tease as an outright.
Yeah. Like okay. Yo, yeah. Something is happening. Yeah. And a few days later, it was officially announced by Showtime to be a 9-episode series initially.
Hmm. Whoa.
And of course, over the next several months, you'd hear, you know, different actors were confirmed to be coming back, which is super cool. But then everything came to a quick halt. In April 2015, David Lynch said that he would not be directing them due to budget constraints. And people were pretty upset. How do you do this without David Lynch? And it's funny. Actually, I want to bring up kind of a double. This is a similar situation happened. I don't know if you guys remember I brought up in Fire Walk With Me. They wanted Kyle MacLachlan to be in it, and he backed out. But a month later, he got back on in the smaller role, and there was a very nice parallel here with this and that. It's just like, of course, like there's some holdup. So it's interesting how history repeats itself in that way. But yeah, and so then a month after that, they came to an agreement, and it was going to be 18 episodes instead of the 9.
Great.
Even more.
It's like, all right, you can do it, but you have to do 18 instead of 9.
Well, you only get half bargain. The money.
Yeah. So kind of on what you were saying too, Mark Frost emphasized that these episodes were not a remake or a reboot, but a continuation of this series, that they're set in present day, and the passage of 25 years is an important element in the plot.
Right. I just didn't expect to get that in real time.
Yeah, for real. Showtime's president, David Nevins, said that the core of the pilot is Agent Cooper's odyssey back to Twin Peaks, which I believe I remember seeing that phrase, or at least a variation of it, in the description and other places, just about when the show came back. You weren't getting any information about anything. The trailer that came out for this, not a trailer. And that's fine. That's great. It was just literally like 10 shots of different characters not even saying anything or barely saying anything, to give you no indication of what this was going to be at all. Mm-hmm. Also kind of an opposite to Fire Walk With Me, the two-part premiere premiered at Cannes Film Festival, where it received a 5-minute standing ovation, which I highly recommend watching the video on YouTube.
It's too long to stand.
It's amazing. Watch the video, though. It's so good.
Did better than Fire Walk With Me.
That's true. Yeah. But there's a great video of that on YouTube. You can tell, I think, you know, you can see Lynch getting emotional, and Kyle's there. The whole cast is there, and mm-hmm. it's a really, really nice moment to see that this was so well-received mm-hmm. after everything this franchise had gone through. In all the years. That's my opening statement. Tyler, I know you, so Dave, let's kind of repeat here. I've seen all the return. Dave, you've seen like 8 or 9 episodes, I think, or parts.
For now.
I was so excited about starting this with Tyler earlier. I forgot that I was going to prepare him with a sort of giant telling Cooper 3 things. I was going to tell him 3 things to just keep in mind for the season. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you now, Tyler. I'm not going to wave my hands no.
I'm telling you now.
I will tell you 3 things. 1, throw your expectations out the window. 2,
done.
Pay very close attention to the credits.
Didn't have a choice.
3, be patient.
Okay. And what are the other 2 things you forgot to tell me?
I forgot to tell you that Audrey's dead.
No. She is not dead. I realized the reason that Audrey's character in Friends has 1 leg is because of the bank explosion.
Got blown off.
It's a continuation.
Blew it right off.
Uncanny.
If you freeze frame and go just frame by frame on the video of the explosion, you see a single Audrey leg just fluttering in the distance.
If you look behind the one leg now.
Yeah.
When the glasses turn flying through the air, you can kind of see the leg's reflection.
It's all true. Don't Snopes it.
Are we ready to begin this discussion?
I thought we already started.
Well, no, I'm talking about the episode.
Oh, so. Yes.
Yeah, why not dive into the episode?
Talking for Kids.
Oh, we're changing formats?
Sure.
We got to give people a hook. I think Tyler liked it, but let's get moving. How do we start part one?
Part one starts where pretty much season one of Twin Peaks starts. Just okay. Well, so not exactly, but yes. So we're in the Red Room, and it's season one Cooper in the room with Laura Palmer.
Season two Cooper.
Sorry. With season two Cooper, and we kind of just rehash the scene of him with Laura in the Red Room, and when she tells him she'll see him again in 25 years.
How perfect.
Right. Completely
perfect. What are the chances?
Yeah, I feel like it had to be planned.
Yeah, absolutely.
We get the meanwhile hands, and we get a few more shots from the pilot. We have a very low frame rate shot of the girl running across the courtyard.
In the hallway, at the high school.
As the school's being told.
AKA Dunk Jangle stage.
Oh, this is where I said, I bet Dunk Jangle's a teacher at this school now.
He's teaching dance.
It's very possible.
He's a drama teacher.
This is how you sell a scene. You get a part, no matter how small, go for it. This is how.
Like when Dwight played Muti the mailman in his high school production of Oklahoma.
That's right.
I forgot about that. Yeah. A lot of shots just to, we even get Laura's portrait in the trophy case. Just a lot of things to remind you what started Twin Peaks.
But was it supposed to be just like past stuff? I wasn't supposed
I
to be like,
so. I think it was
this
just
is Twin Peaks now, no, and her picture's still in this. Right.
I think since it was surrounded by all the footage from back then, it was just
I feel like
setting
it was all
up
past
as a
stuff.
Reminder. The only thing that wasn't was the mill, because it was
burned down.
Yeah. The start of the mill was current.
Yeah.
Everything else was not current.
No, my wife is current. From what we had.
Yeah.
You know what that was from.
Yeah. I remember.
No one else. So all of that just to show, or not show anything, but to remind you where all this started, that this is Twin Peaks, and this is what you need to remember, even without much detail. Like anybody who's been following knows everything that's being shown. Yeah. Then a quick transition to 25 years later, still in the Red Room. Or no, this is a black and white room.
This is a black and white room. Where do you think Giant, or should I say 7 question marks, and Cooper are sitting? Where do you think this is?
The black and white lodge.
The grayscale lodge.
They're combined as one. The black and white lodge. This is the black and white.
This is the yin and yang. This is the Zen lodge.
I would just stay.
Right?
It's like, this is pretty chill.
Yeah.
It is.
We got
chill.
A gramophone?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah. It looks comfortable.
Yeah. The chairs look good, right?
Yeah. I like it. I mean, and the Giant also, I want that robe. Like, he's looking cozy.
A lot of comfortable chairs in this episode, also. Yeah. I'll go ahead and throw out.
I would buy a coffee table book about the chairs of Twin Peaks.
How many Twin Peaks coffee table books would you buy?
You can never have too many, Tyler.
We're in this Zen room.
Yeah.
Yes. The Zen lodge.
Where we immediately get clues. Things to pay attention to.
Yeah. Remember when I told you I had 3 things to tell you? I forgot some.
Yeah. I've got more.
Yeah, we got a whole new batch of things to be told. I like that it just kicks it off. Like we're here and we just get rolling.
Yeah.
Waste no time in this kind of stuff that happens in Twin Peaks. Mm-hmm. It's just you're hit with this information right away, even though you have no idea what it is. Mm-hmm.
So we have current day Cal McLaughlin, who has aged like a fine wine, sitting across from the Giant, who hasn't aged
not
a day.
Like, leather face boop.
Right.
But Cooper looks good.
Yeah.
He, sharp dressed man.
He's kept it together. Sitting across from the Giant, the first, there's no lead up. He just is looking at him and he says, "Listen to the sounds." Points at a gramophone that just makes him like popping and clicking.
Yeah. And we know sound is important to Lynch. I pointed it out to Tyler in the credits too, that who's credited as the sound designer on Twin Peaks?
I do not remember.
It was David Lynch.
Oh, that's right. I do remember the David Lynch remix of What was the song?
Oh, the American Woman is what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
The plays when Cooper rolls up. Yeah. So but if you think about it too, when you think about even the stuff in Fire Walk With Me with like the sounds being important, like the whooping sound from the arm, it's like, yeah, it's.
That was Leo swinging the soap sock.
Yeah.
Sounds more like a lot of warbling going around. Yeah.
I think sound is very important and maybe even more important in this.
It's better than the freaking arm's new Hannibal Lecter sound.
Yeah, moving forward. He says, listen to the sounds. And then as the popping and clicking is playing on the gramophone, you have classic shots of reactions without reaction, where Cooper just kind of turns his head toward the gramophone, then back to the giant. And kind of waits for more. That's all. It seems like that's all he knows to do.
Yeah.
At this point, and he says, "It is in our house now."
The party.
Our house.
Or is he just referring to the gramophone?
I don't know
what they mean. Like, there's two questions here for me: is what is it?
The gramophone.
And whose house? Like where we're sitting here,
the Lord's
with the question mark man giant. Yeah.
Is this your house, Jack?
Yeah.
Is it Zen Lodge?
A lot of questions.
This might be the cabin.
You know who is a frequent visitor at the Zen Lodge? Motherfucking Jerry Horn.
Oh, yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, he
and
is.
And it's legal. Also a sign of the times.
what are some of the other clues, Dave?
Just real quick, some other clues. He tells Cooper to remember 430. And he says, Richard and Linda, two birds with one stone.
Richard.
Oh.
I know who's coming back. Dick and Linda Tremaine, I see you on the horizon. I am coming for you.
Tyler's bold prediction.
Can that be a segment? So he says these things, and Cooper looks again to the gramophone and then back to the giant and says, I understand. I don't.
He doesn't. He's just saving face.
He's like, ooh, I don't want the giant to judge me.
What's the best way to get out of this? Tired of talking to this guy. It's been 25 years.
It's like this isn't where I'm used to being, and I kind of just want to go. I didn't show up for new grayscale houses.
Yes.
But he soon gets his wish because the giant looks at him and says,
Pleasantville.
Yeah. Soon looks at him and says, you are far away.
Oh, yeah. And then he just disappears. Yeah,
then he vanishes.
I totally forgot about that because it happens like 8 times.
Mm-hmm. And then smash cut. So we've got a cabin in the woods.
Yep.
And
the first thing Tyler said, is this Leo's cabin? I said, yeah, he's remodeled where Wyndham Earl left him.
Leo's new house.
He just staked his claim and set up shop.
Renovated this cabin into a dumpy trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say cabin, but what I mean is dumpy trailer.
Yes, in the woods.
A residence in the woods.
Yeah.
And this
equals cabin.
Yeah.
Right.
And a very haggard gentleman steps out of the door. Not immediately recognizable.
With old to me at person all. Sunglasses.
You say that, but Tyler, the first thing he said was, Jacoby? And then he took his sunglasses off. He's like, yep. That's Jacoby.
Yep, that's the guy.
Dr. Jacoby.
He's receiving some boxes.
Full of shovels.
Yeah.
And then some faint dialogue from
very
far
faint,
away.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much just like, need a hand with these docs? He's like, no.
And we'll see you maybe in part 3.
And this scene takes a while.
Yeah, it does.
As he unloads shovels in real time.
You gotta love that, like, this show's been gone for so long. And, I mean, I almost look at this as, like, the opening scene, really. I mean, the first one's just like, okay, here's your clues for the season.
Mm-hmm.
This is, now we're getting going. We're in the woods. All right, yeah. Oh, okay, we're here a while.
Yeah.
And it's Jacoby, and we don't know what he's doing with these shovels.
Yeah, long shots are what's on offer this episode.
Yeah.
Like, and that's...
This Lynch episode,
this Lynch is
back
season.
With a vengeance.
I was going to say, this episode, this season.
Somebody who greenlighted this is just facepalming, just like, oh, I should have known.
Should have watched this crap before I said yes.
All I ever watched of his was What Did Jack Do? And expected more like that.
That was after this.
Well, oh, it was. Yeah, it was. Oh, that's so silly.
Mm-hmm. Unless he's from the future. Mm-hmm. Possibly. This fictitious person we made up that greenlit this show.
Well, is it future?
Or is it past?
Hmm.
That I'll never tell.
And I'll tell you how you establish lore in Twin Peaks.
Laura?
No.
Lore.
I'll tell you how you establish lore in Twin Peaks. You go to New York City.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Amazing shots, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out to Peter Deming, the director of photography. This, the shots, and not even just the New York City shots, but shots of the woods in these episodes.
Sure, yeah, even the opening. Shots.
4K is working in Twin Peaks' favor.
Yeah, this show looks good.
Mm. Granted, I did think this was Twin Peaks.
He first said that before it said New York City. He goes, wow, Twin Peaks has been
really developed
over the last 25 years.
Had a boom after all these deaths.
I was going to say a boom.
Yeah.
But yeah, nope, this is New York City.
Yep.
And we have an unnamed gentleman sitting in front of an empty glass box that it seems to have a hole drilled through the building to the outside where you can see the starry night.
I thought it was just the city. The hole or the exterior?
The exterior box?
Box.
Well, we're inside now looking at the box. And the back of the box has a porthole to the city.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So he's just sitting here looking at this thing for what feels like ages.
Yeah.
Until there's a buzz and alert. I really liked this because I like that I could follow exactly how this routine is happening. There's a buzz that says camera 3. And then this takes a while, but he goes to get a step stool, go up to a particular camera, take out the SD card from that camera, mm-hmm. go over to a massive safe.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. So massive.
Huge, opens that up to find just a wall of foam.
How long do you think they've been filming this box?
I think this is not the first safe full of SD cards.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the storage capacity is on these things.
What year is it, 2017?
I think 16 might technically be when it takes.
I mean, that changes things. So probably what, 256?
Sure. Would,
512 max.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd say,
we'll say money's no object. 512.
I'll say 500 because you still want to be efficient.
Okay. Yeah.
So 500 per SD card of video footage. And he brings it over and sticks it in its little slot, the next one. There are multiple behind it and multiple to come to fill this box up. There is a freight elevator in this room that I can only assume is for getting these giant safes in and out full of video footage that are looking at a box.
Yeah.
I feel like this job is pointless. I feel like, first of all, if you have to have somebody sitting there and watching and filming all this stuff.
I'm going to counter your beef, just so you know.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Job is pointless.
You don't. Why do you have to store all this stuff? Like, if nothing has happened, or if something does happen, write a note. Oh, hey, this happened. And then I'll tape the SD card to this little note. Or are you spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars on SD storage safes? I don't know.
Let's speculate real quick on on this guy's salary.
This guy?
Yeah.
He's making like $11 an hour.
He's making minimum wage.
In New York. So it's like $2.
That's not true.
I'd say he's making a clean $35 a year to sit here and look at this box.
Oh, yeah. So he's impoverished.
I'm not going to ask questions about why we have all this footage.
No.
You don't have to do anything because nothing happens. Until it happens, and when it happens,
when it happens, sounds like you quit your job,
right?
Or something
happens, and you go away. But if I'm getting paid to sit around and wait for something to happen, and then I don't have that job anymore, that's fine. I'm not working. I'm shocked this guy doesn't have a Game Boy or something. anything.
He's not getting paid to play games.
I guess that's true.
So maybe he's making a lot of money. $1 million.
He's talking like 45?
Yeah. $45.
He's not getting paid $1 million. He should have at least like $1 million life insurance policy, though.
Well, we learned that a billionaire owns the building.
Right. A billionaire does own the building. But what's important right now is that this is his job.
Yes.
Staring at this box. Wow, we've taken a long time talking about just what this guy does. And he doesn't do anything. He stares at the box. He puts away SD cards. And then he puts a new SD card in and he looks at the box some more.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And then apparently he gets a nightly latte delivery.
Nightly latte run. There's a young lady that brings coffees.
Tracy.
Probably for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem surprised that she's there. He knows her name.
Yeah.
She has two lattes.
Yes.
One's for him and one is for her.
Did you notice what was on the latte? On the cup?
The same thing that's on her uniform.
I did not see that.
It's a Z.
Is it a Z?
Is that a Z cup?
Is that a Z cup? Is that an A cup?
Then over at the desk, we have this like has-been washed up high school wrestler.
Who they gave a uniform and probably a gun.
Yeah. He's very disgruntled.
Yeah.
I can't come with you?
That's the rules.
That's the rule. Sorry, Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy wants to come in. She wants to have coffee with our boy here.
He's named
Sam Colby.
Do we get his name?
I don't know that she ever says Sam.
It's just in the credits.
I think it's in the credits.
Yeah, Sam Colby.
Well, that's a waste of writing.
But I didn't even know this actor's name, so I didn't know who was being credited to what.
Right. That's the tough part.
But she wants to come in with coffee. The guard won't let him, and he knows that the guard won't let him.
Top secret.
But he does thank her multiple times for the coffee.
He really does. He does. Because she's such a bad girl.
She is.
But he's weird.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thanks,
like,
Tracy.
In a serial killer kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, just
like in a fear kind of way.
Like, listen to these.
Thanks, Tracy.
That's my damn fine line of the night.
Damn fine.
What's crazy to me is that this guy is a Twin Peaks character. And Tracy is not.
Right.
She's just a normal person.
Right.
She's not a CBS Twin Peaks character.
No. Yeah, there are new Twin Peaks characters who are very much like regular people who speak normally. And then you have a lot of Twin Peaks characters who have these long drawn out interactions where they just stare at each other and don't say anything until somebody says a little bit, because that's the life they know. They're familiar with it.
Yeah.
But when somebody from this new 2017 filming characterization encounters somebody who is acting very Twin Peaks, they don't know how to handle it.
That's true.
I love it.
Yeah.
Tracy wants it though.
She does.
Try me.
You're a bad girl, Tracy.
She's a bad girl. But no, he thanks her multiple times.
I wish I could use that more.
He thanks her for the coffee, and she just lets him have both because she's not getting what she wants tonight. So it's like, I brought two coffees. But
I want to point out, I noticed, I don't know at which point that I noticed, but in the room with the glass box by the couch where he sits on the table, there is a bonsai tree.
Bonsai!
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Also, there was one angle where it looked like this chair was super uncomfortable. Okay, I've got beef.
Oh, great.
I got beef. This chair is built for two. Why is there always just one person in the room? It's like they expect there to be somebody else.
It's Twin Peaks.
You don't want them
Maybe he wants to lay down.
Here's the thing. You don't want somebody whose job is to sit here and stare at a box to lay down, because they will fall asleep. Because
their job is not to lay down and look at the box.
Someone intentionally put that there because they want them to have sex in front of the box.
Because we all know what happens.
Sex in front of the box.
When you have sex in front of a glass box of emotion.
Sex magic.
You die.
Yeah. Death by sex.
Exactly. Death by sex.
Oh. She killed him with sex.
Yeah, she killed him with sex. Yeah.
How much simpler does it have to be?
Dave's saying she killed him with sex.
Well, she died too.
I don't care.
She started it.
Gives credence to my...
No, look, he just wanted to make out a little.
One of my theories that either the thing in the box was an alien or her.
Here's what happened when we watched. So when we watched this scene, when you first see what is in the glass box, mm-hmm. when they're doing it, Tyler immediately says, "Is that an alien?" 3 seconds later, he sees that you this thing at least has breasts, and he goes, "Is that her?"
And that's valid.
It is valid
because.
Also, I want to point out, did you see, was there anything interesting in the credits? Did you guys see anything else interesting?
The credit for Alien?
Experiment figure?
The experiment.
Or experiment model?
Yeah, the experiment. And that's what, that was the girl playing.
Who was
it? So it's credited as the experiment. I mean, I can find out if you need to know.
It was jarring that this thing shows up, just wails on him.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
It was it's, really it was goes just, it down. Yeah.
Just blurred slashing.
It's straight. It's such a like B-movie horror, like just slasher little.
And I am here for
it. Yeah, I know for sure. It's just like, you know, you have the hot couple that gets slashed up by a monster. But also the amount of time and just how quiet everything is. Not even just in this scene, but honestly in the return thus far. Makes everything more tense anyway. So I really enjoyed the
build. Mean the atmospheric humming?
Yes. If you watch the subtitles, yes. It does say atmospheric humming.
One of the like the track?
The best credits? One, yeah. I don't know if we've gotten to it yet, but the best one in the subtitles in the series is intense, ominous whooshing.
Mm-hmm. Not body falls on floor.
But it is, intense, ominous whooshing is...
Whooshing intensifies.
Yeah. Whooshing intensifies, yeah. But no, it just... I loved the build because it made the moment that much more horrifying mm-hmm. For me, anyway.
Yeah, and that's jumping ahead, but that really is these two characters... arc that's it's their demise. There is more to discuss about that scene, which we will reach as we approach it.
Yep.
Back to the Great Northern.
Meanwhile,
you perked up when you saw the Great Northern shot.
I did. It's the first time I ever saw it clearly
in daylight.
It was beautiful. Seemed like they moved the building back a little bit.
That's just passing of time.
Yes. Rocks I've heard move. Buildings back buildings up move. Over time.
They don't move like us. They just go, whoa, 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 whoa. But it takes like 25 years.
Josie moved it. She's in the wood.
She's just ramming the drawer in and out, trying to scoot the building.
She just pops up on chicken legs like Baba Yaga's hut. And...
Man.
No, a very recognizable.
What is shenanigans?
Ooh. They have a very recognizable Richard Boehmer.
Yeah.
Opposite the my reaction to Russ Tamblyn.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this is Benjamin Horne.
Yeah.
Just doing his thing at the Great Northern. He's taking care of business as usual.
Ashley Judd is his assistant.
That's weird.
Who also has aged not.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks the same.
So she's around and they're discussing the fact that a skunk had gotten into the hotel.
No. The skunk was way over there. It was not anywhere in the Great Northern.
How did the skunk get in his room?
No.
It was the other side of the hotel. Yeah. That's fine.
It was at the bottom of the waterfall with Mike.
Mike.
And also the triumphant return of Jerry Horne.
So triumphant. As soon as did you immediately know?
Oh yeah.
As soon as you heard the noise, it was just like, oh God.
Yeah.
And of course he has food.
And then whatever I was picturing in my head was not what happened on the screen.
Not at all. Nope.
Yeah. So
he's become a hippie, you know. Marijuana is legal in the state of Washington.
Twin Peaks.
This guy is off the rails.
What do you think he's infused into his smoked cheese pig?
THC, man. Man.
Love.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a whole big bag of love in there. Yep, Jerry Horn's back. He is very homeless looking.
Yes.
Huge beard, knit cap, layered clothing, all just filthy. He... makes himself at home in a chair nearby.
Yep. Props his legs up.
Very
comfortable.
Kicks up what are sure to be terrible smelling feet.
Oh, yeah. Hiking boots and Bomba socks.
He's here, and he gets introduced to Beverly, the assistant, before she's sent away. So that
my name is Judd.
Ashley Judd.
Yes.
Yes. So that, I guess, so Jerry can get his spring rolls in peace. But he basically suggests that Ben will more than likely hit that.
Suck it to me.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, Jerry.
Big Aretha Franklin fan.
Obviously. No, Jerry's chowing down. He's got himself some, is it pound cake?
Or banana bread.
Banana bread.
That's right.
Jam.
Mm-hmm. And jam, both infused with THC. And he is about to achieve liftoff.
Swimming in my mind at this time, literally, is my new hydroponic indica sativa hybrid. A touch of the mythic AK-47 by way of the Amsterdam Express. It's baked into this banana bread and infused in this potent, spreadable jam that's ideal for creative sojourns of a solitary nature. Wheels up.
Yes.
Wheels up.
Wheels up.
And that's my damn fine line of the night.
Damn fine.
Dude, it's so good.
So good.
It's right. The best explanation.
It's good.
Just these guys and food, it kills me.
It's great.
But we also learn here that Jerry has taken on a profession that has tripled the revenue of the Horn brothers, and it is in the THC business, which is now legal.
Awesome.
Pretty compelling stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, not where I saw Jerry's character going, but here we are.
Yep. But makes total sense, and nobody is surprised.
That's true, actually. Like, you see him, and you have that moment of shock, but it's also, no, I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
You know, I should have picked up on the weed thing, because let's look at the food this guy's been eating throughout the series.
Right. Yeah.
Like, this guy...
It makes sense.
...has munchies, for sure.
Yeah, he does. He brings in fresh munchies from France or wherever.
No way that munchie was fresh. But let's get even more familiar territory.
Sure.
Let's go to the Twin Peaks Sheriff Station. Why
not? Let's.
We're here.
We are.
Lucy Brennan's still running the phones.
And it's Lucy Brennan. Happy to see that. It says Brennan and not Lucy Moran.
Mm-hmm.
That was my big takeaway immediately. I was like, oh.
Yep. Okay. They figured it out.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Also, Kimmy Robertson has aged like a fine wine as well.
Right.
Yes.
She looks the exact same.
Yeah. Yes.
It's great.
I don't know what's in the water.
In Twin Peaks.
Blood. Blood and water.
Spirit water.
Shark in the water. Oh, she's there and a guy comes in asking for Sheriff Truman and she says, which one?
She says, what? One's fishing and one's sick.
What does that mean?
It could make a difference.
Two Trumans. Yeah. We do learn.
Father.
We
both
do
sheriffs.
Well, no, we do learn in the secret history that he has a brother.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lucy states again that it could make a difference depending on which one he's looking for. It doesn't really specify if you want the fishing one, you can see him later, or if you want the sick one, sorry, he's sick.
Yeah.
Right.
She's just like, you can see him never.
It could make a difference, but it's about insurance. The guy loses his card. She says she'll call him back. This plays out way less organically than we just described it.
Yes. Yeah,
it is super Twin Peaks. This is peak.
It
peaks.
Is. It was to the point that I know Lucy's character is weird.
Yes.
And I don't know. And definitely in her own world.
Yes.
Knowing those things, I was like, what is wrong with her? Like, she's like 80 times worse than she was in the pilot. Announcing phone transfers. But then...
Same old Lucy.
It's, I don't know, I guess mirrored in that dumb-ass lady in Buckhorn, South Dakota with the keys to the apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got to get there.
We do.
But first, we are on our way to a house. We're in a car.
There we are.
Soundtrack on point.
Yeah, so on point.
It's a really...
I thought this was James' grand return.
He did. He thought, with the lights, he thought it was a motorcycle.
Yeah. I was like, if this is James getting this badass moment, I'm done. And it wasn't.
No, James gets a moment, but
you would have much different music.
Not badass.
You would have much different music.
Yeah, it would be like just you and not me.
Right.
Because I had a bike crash.
This song is by Muddy Magnolias. It's called American Woman, but it is the David Lynch remix.
Yeah, DLR.
Which is pretty much just the slowed down pitch version.
Slowed down 237%.
Yeah.
Quarter speed.
And it's perfect.
It is. But it hits.
Yeah.
When it hits, it you jump.
Yeah, it hits.
Yeah, it definitely lands. This is Cooper's doppelganger that escaped from the lodge.
Boop.
At the boop. that escaped at the end of season two, that the old house Annie smashed his face into a mirror.
Yes, he is quite tan.
A little world weary.
Also looks like
not taking care of his skin.
It just, I get the feeling that he smells like cream corn that's been sitting in an ashtray for 25 years.
I don't even know what that would smell like.
That's exactly.
It smells like he looks.
He smells like a mystery.
Smells like he looks.
Now he drives up to this Hills Have Eyes little cabin out in the middle of nowhere. And there's, for some reason, a guard with a shotgun at the front.
Yeah.
Guard. Sure.
Guard in quotes.
Person.
He approaches and quickly handles this guy. Yeah. Yeah. Also, okay. So, yeah, this is Cooper, doppelganger.
Boop.
It's Boop.
He's got many names, though.
He's got many names. Mr. C.
Yeah, Mr. C, Evil Coop, Doppel Coop, mm-hmm. Bob That's Coop.
Cooper Ganger.
Bob Coop.
Bob Coop.
That's stupid.
Bob Cooper. Robert Cooper.
I hope whoever came up with that is listening, because you are an imbecile.
Spirit Agent Robert Cooper.
I like that.
Spirit Agent Robert Cooper.
I like that.
Or simply
Bob Coop is
simply
stupid.
Boop.
Boop is the best, obviously.
Yeah, and then Otis here refers to him as Mr. C, mm-hmm. and that which is, that's what I've heard Kyle MacLachlan pretty much refer to this character as in interviews.
Kale,
yeah.
And he takes out this guy that's watching the front door, not really guarding it, but quickly takes him out. He rolls in looking like a
just a
drifter rock star.
Beat piece of leather with a ponytail.
He doesn't have a ponytail.
Yeah, he has a half.
He does have
pony.
A tiny.
Oh yeah, he's got the half pony. Yeah, he's got the little just to keep
the
away
rest
from
is
the sides
out.
Of his head.
He looks. I could not figure out who he looks like, and I still can't. But like when he gets out of the car and he starts walking, there's this like old man with long black hair, and I can't decide if I know him as like a magician or what, but he reminds me of this person so much.
That's Valentino.
David Copperhead.
Copperhead?
He's wearing snakeskin.
Okay.
Call him David Copperhead.
Perfect. David Copperhead.
So David Copperhead rolls in and just helps himself to an armchair sitting across from an old man with a
hook.
Tyler thinks it's Hook from the movie Hook.
He definitely has the Dick Dastardly mustache and he seems to be sipping sun tea. I'm going to hope.
I thought it was just like moonshine or something.
It could have been moonshine, but it wasn't completely clear. So
does he remind you of anyone else?
It's one of two things.
Does he remind you of anyone else, Dave?
He reminds me a lot of the waiter.
Senior Jewel Cup?
Senior Jewel Cup. Reminds me very much of him. And to the point that I was like, is that the same guy? But like, no, there's no way, because that guy's long dead.
He's got that Benjamin Button disease.
The only cure is sun tea.
You've said that on the show before.
I did?
Yes. I don't remember to who or what, but you've said that because I've heard you say that on the show. Got that Benjamin Button disease.
Great. Great.
So this is Otis, and he addresses Copperhead as Mr. C.
Yeah.
And he just kind of makes himself at home. They sit across from each other and exchange a moment of pause.
Yeah, I was going to say, do they exchange anything?
They don't exchange anything. They just kind of sit across from each other.
What do you think goes on in this place? Something very illegal if someone's guarding. Yeah.
Well, here's an issue I had with the scene. Not beef, but just a query.
I got query.
What is everybody doing? It seems like this guy's entire night is sit in this chair and sip from this mason jar.
And then you have these other guys.
Yeah, what?
Just in the back.
Your reaction was my reaction too the first time. It was just, you get this shot, this wide shot of them, and Todd just goes. he just moves his head forward. He's trying to see him. He's like, who is back there?
Oh, I'll tell you who's back there is Beulah.
Beulah comes out from the back. She comes out from the back. There's these two other people that are sitting. One's in a wheelchair. Maybe they're both in wheelchairs. I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
One's the son of the couple from the American Gothic. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is this, like...
I thought the exact same thing.
The other is, I don't know, I guess some... I don't know. It was weird.
So these two carnival acts are sitting in the back, and...
Well put.
It's like a guy with arms that are too short, and there's another dude near him there. I think they are both in wheelchairs.
Are they?
One of them for sure is.
I know the one in the, like, further back. Well, that's why I was leaning in trying to, like, look at.
This is why I said the Hills Have Eyes house, because I... Nothing against anybody who has a natural condition. Like, if you're dealt a weird card with your physiology, that's a unique challenge for your life, and I can't speak to that. But these people were specifically chosen to be jarring in their visual.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's not. I'm not saying that like these people would be weird looking to just see them out in public, but they have been specifically positioned, staged, made up, and given no context just to have this cabin be a place that you walk into and just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
That's how this was set up. And that was my reaction.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
I get that.
So there are those guys in the back of the room. From a separate room comes Beulah.
Yeah.
Who is the wife from the American Gothic painting.
Yes.
With either black wig or dyed black hair.
I couldn't tell you. And like some long janky fingernails, like full on, I don't even know.
But the functions she seems to serve is to go and get Ray and Daria from the back.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, why can't they come out on their own?
Yeah. Like, why didn't they just come out with her?
Also, just like knowing what we know, or not that we know a ton about these characters in this next episode, but why is she having to just get them? Like, are they just there for Boop to use? Like,
it seems like they all work for Boop on some level, which seems like the guy out
except
front
for the guard
should have gotten the memo,
right?
Yeah,
it's like if you see David Copperhead roll up, don't shotgun him,
yeah,
lest you get knocked out.
Yeah, big mystery. What's the purpose of this place?
I am 800% confident we will never know.
Is it a brothel?
Is it?
I think
because there's zero clientele.
I think sun tea is their major export.
Yes. So,
and
we make knockoff like sun kiss or what a Snapple.
Sun piss.
After Ray and Daria come out, who Ray looks like somebody, and I can't pin it down.
Kind of looks like somebody, doesn't he?
I can't pin it down. This not an Elvis impersonator comes out with not Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah. There's a lot of like
great descriptions, Dave.
Like, no, just, it is a great description.
Just so close.
Because yeah. Until he said that, I was like, who does she look like? She's looked like somebody this whole time. Yeah,
so close. But they come out and it seems like they just kind of already know what's up because they're
ready to go.
Yeah, they're ready to go. They're locked and loaded. They all head out together. Shortly after that is another scene back in the glass box room.
Yep.
With our unnamed gentleman and another buzz, so he changes the SD card again. This seems like a new safe already.
Yeah.
It's safe to assume that.
So he stopped after he put the SD card in there, and he kind of stopped, and I thought like maybe he noticed one of the cards was missing. So I thought Tracy came in. At some, because she was watching the code,
right?
Because we all know
you're a bad girl, Tracy.
That's right.
I thought she came back and like took an SD card. I don't know. That's just what it seemed like when he stopped.
Yeah.
But then I guess it was because there was something off in the routine that usually goes on.
It did seem like something was amiss when he opens the door this time to change the card.
Yeah.
And I kind of picked up on that too. Yeah. But I should. Full transparency. I'm almost on board with Tyler through this season because I am not familiar with any of this. I have seen up to part 8. I do not remember anything about seeing up to part 8. So as I'm rewatching, it's like seeing it for the first time again, or just being reminded. So I'm on board with like, I'm not sure what that means at this point.
Well, I think that's also set up what's about to happen because something's clearly off. You have not only is that off, but the guard is gone.
Guard's gone.
Yeah.
Tracy's in the lobby with two lattes.
I think all of these things are happening to allow
that loss from his
what's about to happen in
last
the last
high school wrestling match really got to him.
Took the night off.
So I don't think it's a coincidence that these things are a little off based on what's about to happen here. I think it's all a part of this plan.
Yep. Tracy invites herself up. She's obviously tried this several times.
She's also said something like nobody's here, as in like, I don't know. I always just kind of maybe assumed that the billionaire owned this entire building. This was the only thing going on in this building.
I assume so as well.
Yeah. And that when she came in downstairs.
Security guard is the billionaire?
It's very possible. Good theory. I assume there'd be a guard downstairs too to let her up. Mm-hmm. And she said no one's here.
I thought this was ground level since there's a lift that goes up to the box room.
You thought this was ground level?
Well, no, but he comes out of
thought there was a lift that came up to it?
Well, he comes out of a door, though, Sam. Like, he comes out of a door to go into that room.
But there's, like, so I watched with captions, so I know what I'm talking
confused
about.
Here.
Yeah, I am
you
too.
Think something's on the ground level and that
well, we see her
there
leave.
Is
we
a
see
lift that comes up to the ground level?
No, I think that where the guard is the ground level.
I know, but we
but
see
that's
her go
where
down.
She comes. Yeah, she up. Goes down from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, she goes down from there, yeah. We see her get in the elevator and we see her clearly go down out of the shot.
The camera goes, and she 100% goes behind a wall.
Yeah.
So, there's no way they used an elevator. They were like, okay, now duck.
So, like I said, not familiar with these episodes.
Right.
But I
knew it wasn't the ground floor.
Okay, fantastic. Great observation. I did not pick up on this. So this is floor two.
This is definitely, perfect. Look too at what, I mean, there may be no other floors in the building.
This is the rare two-floor building in New York City.
Where the second floor is at the top. Because we know that it's clearly high up based on what we see in the next.
The next 30 floors in the building. Purely for aesthetic.
One B, one C.
And the establishing shot of the outside of the building when we first see it. We clearly see it panning up, you know, to the top of that building.
Sure.
Yeah, it was very clear.
Well, it is possible that this being a top secret facility, quote unquote, there's like a bunker that goes down and then an elevator that goes up. And then this is floor one.
It could be. But I just see him walking out the door.
Don't
punching.
Look like that. Don't look
but
like
she,
that.
But we but see she him. Came in.
Yeah, and we see
so
him.
She went into the bunker.
She went to the bunker.
Why'd she go down there?
Coffee delivery,
yeah. She slips the guy a fiver.
You're a bad girl, Tracy.
But we see him punch the code to get out. We never see Sam go in an elevator. He punches the code to get out of the glass box room, and then he walks right outside
okay.
to where they are.
So, there's nobody here.
He's not even in the shitter.
Nope, no one's in the shitter.
Knock twice. We all know after two knocks, free dinner.
No one's shitting except for the audience after they see what comes out of the glass box.
Her as an alien.
Which is what Tyler established.
Traylian. stabbing faces.
Box Watcher Boy checks the bathroom.
Yeah.
There's no one in there. Convinced that there is no one in the bathroom or at the guard station, he clears Tracy for entry.
Yeah.
And he just kind of shows her around the place, says, this is the box I watch. It is a glass box.
And that nothing has ever happened.
Well, it has happened once.
Not while he was there.
Says the last guy that watched the box. And he's not there anymore.
See, I guess I just interpreted that differently as this guy saw it. Because he tells her that he never told anybody what he saw.
Right. But something happened.
Right. But is he saying like he saw something and he quit his job, or
it's ambiguous.
He was still alive essentially after
it's
that, or
ambiguous.
It's ambiguous.
He didn't tell anybody because he died.
That's possible. It's either he saw something that scared him so bad that he didn't say anything and left, or he was butchered.
Were I to survive this night, I definitely would have quit.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not worth
getting stabbed in the face.
It's not worth 40 a year to live in New York City.
No, also it's like they're making 50.
It's also like it put him in a trance too, because they didn't get out of there. They're just staring at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
What do you do?
I've never been in this situation. I have no idea.
I mean, they don't have clothes on.
They don't have clothes
neither
on.
Neither did Traylan, but
they sit on this chair that's clearly meant for two.
Perfect.
They share a glance.
Yes. Stolen.
My dude asks if she wants to make out a little bit.
And then...
And she do. And they make out a little bit, and that quickly escalates.
For like 2 seconds?
Yeah, they make out for like 2 seconds. She stands up, undresses to nude, and he follows suit. They do sex. And as they do sex, finally something happens in the box.
Yeah. And it's weird. Like...
The timing is horrible.
Goes completely black.
The box fills with
just
black.
The box. It was so weird.
And then there's this projection of this form, which is a nude lady with a bonkers head.
Yeah, an alien head.
Yeah.
And here's what bothered me the most. This figure wasn't in the center of the box.
It was not. It was a little off center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It bothers me.
Yeah, just from a framing perspective, it was a little unsettling. But what about this should be settling? This monster shows up in the box, and I forget his name, Brother Man, sees it in there, and it quickly starts to, like, blast its way out of the box.
Oh, yeah.
And then Tracy sees it, and they're just frozen with horror, as anybody would.
Yeah.
If an alien monster with hoodies starts blasting out of a box.
And you yourself were naked.
Yes. Like, you are defenseless, you are completely exposed, and all they can do is hold each other tight as they get cut to ribbons by this thing. And it's pretty horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Both instances of nudity in the series thus far have been violent and awful.
That was, I don't know, like, I was not, like,
oh, you weren't.
This isn't Tyler, Twin Peaks.
Yeah, you said, you shouted that afterwards. You go, this isn't Twin Peaks. Like, as soon as that scene, he goes, this isn't Twin Peaks. Yeah.
Now, it's not Twin Peaks as we know it. It is
New York.
It is over the top with the supernatural stuff in this episode.
Yeah, which I was kind of prepared for because of the book.
Right.
That's like, why I immediately, I was like, is that an alien?
Did anything in the scene make you think of anything else in the book? I'm just curious.
When the box filled with black, I was reminded that the words on the page are also black.
He's just being dumb.
Oh, you're just being an idiot?
Yep.
You mean smart and I know colors.
It was a serious question.
Yeah. And that was my way of saying
it. No, and it's fine if you don't have anything. I'm just curious.
Yeah, so I don't. What were you fishing for?
I'm not going to say it.
I've got a couple, but I want you to tell me what you
tell me what you think that means.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Crunch.
We are going to talk about it at some point, but I'm not going to.
But you're going to forget, and I'm never going to have this.
I'm absolutely not going to forget.
All right.
I'll tell you how
from
else.
The book.
I'll tell you how else you establish lore in Twin Peaks.
Marjorie Greene.
You go to Buckhorn, South Dakota.
That's right.
Where we are introduced to
just a stone's throw from.
Where we're introduced to a lady walking her dog down the hallway of an apartment
Armstrong.
Building.
Jeez.
Little Armstrong. Pupper. This is Marjorie Greene.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't.
She's something.
She is.
Oh, Mark.
A piece of work.
Yeah. No, she's rough. She's rough.
This is a class. I was telling Tyler, I was like, this is kind of it's certainly a classic Lynch scene and humor, but also this could totally stand alone as its own goofy short film. You know what I mean? Like, just this whole thing.
This sequence rules.
Yeah, this whole thing could be its own little mini film. But yeah, she smells something in the apartment next door. It's horrid. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what it smells like.
I imagined two things.
Let's hear it.
First, I imagined the smell, obviously, of death.
And then...
scorched engine oil.
Wow.
The only other
pervasive
smell in the series. And I'm pretty sure I'm right as of what's discovered later.
Yeah.
I am not. Actually, I am. Because I called Shaggy out.
So she calls the Buckhead PD.
And who shows up? Bobby Newport Sr., the damn founder of the Sweetums Empire.
It's true.
No longer in that wheelchair.
No, he got out.
He must have that Benjamin Button disease as well.
So the cops show up. trying to figure out how to get into this place. It's locked.
Locked up. Locked up tight. They need to get into this apartment. They need to get into this apartment where the strange smell is coming from. They consider a locksmith.
I did want to point out, I don't remember when Marjorie said it. I don't know if she said it when she first called the cops, but she said that
she didn't know the address.
She'd been missing for 3 days.
Well, she hadn't seen her in 3 days.
She hasn't seen her in 3 days. Right. Just want to point that out.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, she also can't remember her address.
Silly Marjorie. Classic. Classic Marjorie.
1349.
Arrowhead.
Like Native Americans?
Yes. Like Copperhead?
Like
David Copperhead?
It's all coming together.
The famous Magician.
Magician.
The name we made up definitely plays into this lore.
Yes. David Copperhead, the famous Magician.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They call a locksmith. Then she has a very giant moment. Yeah. There's another thing I forgot to tell you. I guess the landlord
yeah. mm-hmm.
is out of town, but when he goes out of town, he leaves keys with his brother. Yep. His brother's the maintenance guy. You can go find him, whatever. So they go and look for this guy.
What I love about this too is you're hearing so many names in like a matter of like
yeah.
10 seconds. You've been name dropped like 5 different people.
Yeah. So they go and find what I assume to be the maintenance guy, but I don't think it is.
Well, what's this guy's name?
It's just I don't know, Shady.
So many names got thrown out.
Shady Baldy, medical Shady bag Balds. with a doctor bag.
Because they need Barney, who is the landlord, but Barney is the one who's out of town. So he would have left his keys with his brother Chip. But to find Chip, they need to talk to Hank Fillmore. Hank.
That's right. I remember that. That it was that dead ass Hank guy. I thought it was Hank Jones, but he died.
Hank Jennings.
Right.
Yeah, Hank Jennings.
Yeah. No, he's passed.
Yes.
What is this guy's name?
Shivved to death. But then he does his own world building.
Yes.
He really does. I have a lot of questions.
I don't know.
I expected
comes.
I expected when the cops come around to ask him who he is, I expect him to drop the trash bag he had and run.
Go.
Yeah, to just bolt. But no,
he didn't. And but then when they walk away,
he starts questioning them.
Am I free to leave?
Gentlemen, am I free to go?
Nega Lucy shows up with the keys.
Mm-hmm.
I got the keys. Saying
she waters her plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have she keys had the whole time.
Yep.
Again, Mr. Lynch, you have wasted my time.
Yeah, Marjorie meets him out on the fire escape.
Yeah.
Says, hey, it'd be a shame if I can't get into Ruth's because I'm supposed to water her plants if she's away. I have a key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these guys are cool as ice.
Yeah.
The look. Mm-hmm. They just exchange a glance. They're just like, okay.
Just another day in Buckhorn.
I wish that there had been a chase sequence where they had to chase this guy down to get no information for her to come out and say, hey, I've got the key. Just make this guy's day as bad as possible.
What do we walk into in this apartment? First of all.
Oh, boy.
No. They don't announce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They just walk in.
Right.
I feel like police or.
Yeah, anything
Mrs.
like that.
Or whatever.
Hello.
Yeah.
Anything. But no, they just bust in and decide they're going to investigate.
And be quiet.
Well, they
Look
don't bust
around.
In. They unlock
this
the door.
This place is in pretty nice order.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go down this way. Okay.
There is one detail that's a little askew in this place.
What is that?
The bedroom. The bedroom.
Yes.
We see a head under we see a body under the covers and we see the head.
Uh-oh.
That clearly has a hole in it.
I just like that's what that officer says as soon as he goes,
uh-oh. Says it a couple times.
Yeah, he does it again when they reveal the body that's separate from
uh-oh.
It. He goes,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
A couple of uh-ohs.
Yeah.
Yeah, this head's got a big old hole in it, and that's when they call in
Nadine.
The CSI. Yeah.
I thought it was Nadine.
It was Nadine.
Freaking JJ's Diner shows up.
Another Pawnee.
Hey, look, I'm I'm wearing gloves.
Like I guess he doesn't wear
Bobby
gloves.
Bobby Newport's like, hey, I got some Nutriums for you. He's like, well, I got the waffles in the car. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've
read this scene.
So, and then Niles' ex-wife is like, oh, way to go, you You're wearing gloves this time.
Correct, Tyler.
What is this operation?
It's sloppy. It's a sloppy op.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a classic slop op. So as they pull back the covers, we find that this body probably doesn't belong to this head.
I think you're right.
This appears very much to be a bloated, for starters, hairy male body.
The head is not even attached.
It is
attached.
No, the kappa is detated.
Boom. Your kappa is detated.
They pull back. This is our big reveal. And as this is going on, our boy Hank from outside, who did not cut and run, as I expected.
He's still around. He's
getting worried about Harvey or Harry. Or,
he's calling Harvey.
He's calling Harvey.
Accusing him of setting him up. He's got it with him. Mm-hmm. But you're not in on this deal. You opted out, Harvey.
That's right. All the cops on.
Yeah.
So we can only assume that his little bag is full of unclean
nutrients.
And he thinks Harvey set him up to get taken down, but apparently he is free to go.
Sounds like Harvey has the same acumen for crime as the Renault family.
Maybe an all-new crime family.
Ooh. Competing crime families.
I like where this is going.
Log Lady.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're back in Twin Peaks.
Back to the sheriff's station. We get to see Hawk.
Yes.
What a guy.
Looking great.
He is embracing.
Silver Hawk.
Oh, he is. Ooh. He's leaning into his age, and it is playing off. Silver Hawk.
Silver Hawk.
I looks like great. That.
I would love to have a Hawk statue made of silver. And I'd be like,
wouldn't we all? Y'all
would come over and be like, what is that? I'd be like, that's my Silver Hawk.
That's my Silver Hawk. Catherine Coulson as Margaret Lanterman.
Mm-hmm.
Making a call to Hawk on oxygen.
Just powering through.
Getting through it.
Like, this is very impressive.
This is
late
in her life.
I did not know. And I initially, of course, outside of the hair, thought this was a character thing that I would never put past David Lynch.
Right.
But then Patrick told me, or I asked or something.
Yeah.
So good for her. She
passed away not long after this was filmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know the exact time frame, but it was within weeks, if not days.
It's so very Margaret Lanterman.
Yeah.
Of her to do this.
It's incredible that,
like, the life imitating art of this, where she has really shown the same virtues as the character. Like, you do what needs to be done, whether or not it's asked of you. Like, no matter what the conditions are, you power through it.
Yeah.
And that is what Catherine Coulson is doing through her time in this season. I mean, the same way Margaret Lanterman was taking care of the injured and the sick, knowing that her husband had been lost in a fire. Like, she just rolled up her sleeves and got in there and did the work.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful.
Me too. It wouldn't be the same, I think, without her presence, especially with what she's here to do. Mm-hmm. And her log is there to lead Hawk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the titular line for the episode.
Yeah.
My log has a message for you, she says as she calls Hawk.
Something's missing and you have to find it.
Something's missing involving Dale Cooper.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And the way that he will find it has to do with his heritage.
Is it Dale Cooper
with Hawks?
Step one, put your hands on boxes.
He does do that.
A lot of that.
Also important of note, she says that the way he'll find it has something to do with his heritage.
We all know what that means.
I do.
Or we all know what that means.
Okay. But the Hawk just says thank you, and that's the end of that conversation. He's clearly a little lost on what exactly was said, but
no, he knows.
But he's determined. I think he understands as much of what she said to him as Dale did. The giant.
He's thinking, well, I'm going to be busy.
He was thinking, my heritage? Well, that's where I found the two missing pages of the diary.
The bloody tale.
For me, it was kind of just like, this again?
Yeah.
More of this?
It never ends.
So Hawk's got his boxes.
We got the Hawk box.
Yeah. We're returning to the conference room.
Mm-hmm.
As got new windows.
Yeah.
Yes.
They've been replaced.
We are updated.
Lucy returns with Andy this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old Harry Goaz. Yeah. Right back in the saddle.
It's good to see him.
He looks as confused as ever.
Yeah, yeah, he really does.
I do not think this is his gut.
You think it's a fake gut?
It looks like, not even fake. It just looks like a pillow.
It's unproportional.
Yeah. So yeah. Hawk relays the message of what the log lady said to him. And this leads to just a wonderful piece of information here where they say, oh, he hasn't been in town. Agent Cooper hasn't been in town since before Wally was born.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that their son is Wally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same birthday as Marlon Brando.
Same birthday as Marlon Brando.
Hideout Wally's.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a double.
Yep.
Donna and Audrey talked about Marlon Brando in the bathroom of the high school.
Yes.
Because she says something about, when she mentions One Eyed Jack, Donna's like, the Marlon Brando movie?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Donna. So vapid.
But yeah, great to see Andy.
Yeah. Did he have a line?
About Wally.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't even call, not even Wally's a Christmas 20, card.
Wally's 24.
Jeez.
Yeah. We're quickly coming up on one of my favorite new characters as far as like actors that I know are concerned. So we have at the crime scene, we get the match on the prints, or not the crime scene, but at the police station, we have a match on the prints taken from the crime scene with the decapitated body. All over the apartment are the fingerprints of one Bill Hastings, played by Matthew Lillard. And I love Matthew Lillard. I'm so stoked that he's here.
And he's so good in this.
He's so good.
He's really, really good in this. It's easy to write a guy like Matthew Lillard off for being Scooby
because of Scream
and Shaggy. That was my introduction to him.
I thought Scream was fabulous
back in the day. Yeah.
I thought his portrayal in Scream was fabulous.
Absolutely. I was meaning more with just Scooby because it is what it is.
But he was a genius when he did Shaggy too. So at me,
I'm
and he's voiced Shaggy until the most recent iteration.
Oh, did he really? I don't think I realized that.
And he was kind of mad about it.
He
didn't get asked. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
It was Casey Kasem until him, and then it was him until
it
changed hands again. Yeah.
But yeah, he's really, really good in this. I was just impressed with him in these first two parts. Very interesting character.
Terrible liar.
Just awful. Try.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a principal. You lie all day. Oh, yeah, kid, you're going to make it. Obviously, you're not.
It seems like he's unknowingly trying to mimic Leland's alibis.
Yeah,
he's mid-season
definitely a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just 100%.
It goes without saying at this point. Bill Hastings is a lot spirit.
We're 100% on that. Especially
in Buckhorn, South Dakota, definitely a large spirit from Twin Peaks.
In the opening of part two, which we will get to.
Right.
But yeah, this guy, which I did not know, I did not think the driver's license picture looked anything like him. Because when he opened the door, I was like, is that the same guy?
It is, yeah, but I think he's got like a goatee or something.
Yeah,
he's got a very,
head is more
like biker on the road sort of facial hair situation.
I used to roll with James Hurley.
Have to hide out Wally's.
Yeah.
Nobody ever messed with the damn rascals again.
So he's the high school principal.
The high school principal, yes.
They go to his house to arrest him. We meet Phyllis.
Phyllis.
Hastings.
What is this about?
He clearly knows Dave Mackley.
Oh, yeah. They went to high school together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's just about my best friend in the whole world.
Seems like it, right?
They're fishing buddies.
Yeah.
Dave, hey.
I need you to come with me.
It's like, I'm going to arrest you.
Don't worry. I'm going to be back home. Because we hope so, because the Morgans
the
are coming.
Freaking Morgans are coming
over for dinner.
But he says he didn't do anything wrong as he's being cuffed and walked away. It says, call George and tell him where I am.
Yep.
As he's being...
Who's George?
Pushed into the car.
George.
I immediately assumed his lawyer.
Which is what we find.
Either that or one of the Millers.
Or maybe Jetson. I got cartoons on the brain. Thinking of Shaggy. Mackley interrogates Bill Hastings. Says he didn't really know Ruth Davenport. Hadn't seen her in a few months.
He's the prime suspect in the murder of Ruth Davenport, who was the decapitated head in the apartment. And his prints are all over the place.
Just
so he needs a story.
Yeah.
So then he gets his story mixed up with Mackley realizes, oh, it doesn't take you that long to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. As he gets
there's
time
a, there's
frames.
Maybe what a 30 minute window.
Yeah.
Where
it shouldn't take him that long to get
home. I mean, dude, use your head.
And it shouldn't take him this long to answer.
You have at least a bachelor's degree. Yeah.
As his eyes flicker, like he's going through a Rolodex in his head of what he could possibly say.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's finally like, I want to speak to George.
Yeah.
He's just getting very uncomfortable.
He is he here?
Yeah. Yeah. But see, now I took it. You guys were just, you said more like his bad luck. The way I read this scene initially was he seemed like he was remembering, because this, and this kind of plays into what he says in the next episode, but that he says he did go to her apartment, but it was only in a dream. That's basically how he said it.
That was in the next episode.
That's what I just
said. That's the next episode. Major point of the next episode.
Yeah. And so that's why I think here he's not remembering that. And something's obviously off. And then like all of a sudden, like he really wasn't remembering
being
with Ruth Davenport ever.
He can't say that here.
Yeah, I know that. And I know that he can't say it in front of him. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like all of a sudden, especially the way his reactions is with suddenly when all these like, especially when he gets the time off, all of a sudden, like he's hit with these emotions, like, everything's catching it back up. Like, oh, wait a second. Like, oh shit.
Well, he knows who she is. He knows her as the librarian.
Right.
For the library in town or at the school.
Yeah.
See, that's what I couldn't figure out if it was the town or
definitely know her.
If the high school. Yeah.
Right.
I thought that too.
I feel like it's gotta be like a town library.
He would also like
maybe a lending library, maybe. Like a book house.
Mm-hmm. She's a book house lady.
Book house gal.
Nailed it.
So they go to the Hastings house with a search warrant. Phyllis is pissed. The Morgans are coming over for dinner. She doesn't have time for this shit.
Yeah. I don't know. The Morgans are coming over. It's akin to the fucking Catalina wine mixer.
But the dude drives a Volvo. You check there first. Mm-hmm. I would. Where we find a piece of meat in the trunk, as David Lynch described it himself.
That's what it looks like, too.
That's what he describes it as. He's like, it's not a kidney. And it's not flesh. It's a piece
First
of
off,
meat.
It looks like brain matter to me.
Yeah.
This is under the cooler.
Yes.
Not in the cooler.
Yeah, I expected something to be there. In the cooler. They didn't even open the cooler.
They didn't open it. Well, they might have afterwards.
He pulled it out. He's like, open it.
Also, Mackley.
Yeah, like, if you're in a headlessness case, check for a head in the cooler in your suspect's trunk.
Also, Detective Mackley's flashlight has gone haywire.
Yeah, it's flickering.
It's gone haywire.
Not doing great.
Not the first time, though.
What I say, Patrick.
You specifically pointed out the light flickering over Laura Palmer's body in the pilot. Yeah.
That's right.
Callback. Mm-hmm. I love that shot. That shot is so weird. It's like you see that piece of flesh or meat. And
it's not flesh, Patrick.
It's literally, the light is just blinking.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it looks like the arms evolution head.
Ooh, it does look very similar.
It is similar, yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? And that's the end of
Woof.
Of part one.
Woof.
Woof. Ends with a woof. Parts one and two aired the same night. When they aired on Showtime, it aired without the break of credits. The credits that are actually, if you were to watch part one by itself in replays or on the Blu-ray or DVD set, the credits just show the giant watching his phonograph for the credits. Nice. As you do.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, guys.
Love it. Love it. Let's go. I'm ready. Like, I'm fine if you just want me to watch all of them and then again. I am more into this than I was the original. I guess comparing the pilot versus this. Right. This was way more gripping, and I am into it.
I love that you love it. I hope that doesn't change.
I'm sure it will. I'm definitely sure it will.
Yeah. There are some hurdles to jump, but
there are some hurdles.
I think we're going to be okay.
Dave.
That was cute, guys.
It was.
Twin Peaks is back in a big, bad way. We have turned all the knobs up. The ghoulies and the ghosties are clear and present. There is violence. There is nudity. There is swearing. There's all kinds of swearing. And it's I just
still haven't heard Hawk swear though.
Potty mouth Hawk from the book
is present here.
Yeah.
But no, it's everything that was there before and just cranked all the way to the top. It's very, very good. It's like you said, Todd, it's way more compelling. Everything's way more gripping. Characters' interactions seem to carry the same weight of the original series and are driving in a much more fascinating way. I want to know
what Lev is.
Yes. I want to know who Harvey is. I want to know what Hank Fillmore did. I want to know if Armstrong is getting enough to eat. I want to know these things. I want to know what's going on with all these characters. Like, there's nobody that pops up and I'm just like, oh, I'm glad they're gone and that's over forever. I want to know. I'm all in. Like, the hooks are in. Like, this is a great way to kick this back off. It's lynched to the max, and it's absolutely Twin Peaks while not being anything like Twin Peaks.
Right.
And it's
at all.
It's fantastic.
I compared it to, I guess I didn't compare it. I said it's not even Twin Peaks. It's just a new show with some of the same actors.
And I think that was the thinking going in as well.
Yeah. It's not.
It's all connected to the, I mean, everything's connected to the main plot of this season.
Yeah.
Who killed Laura Palmer?
It's important.
Leland?
It's important.
She's dead.
When I first saw this, I too was just hooked immediately because I didn't understand anything that was happening. And I mean that in the best way. It's unlike anything I've watched. And
you've seen it before.
I've seen it before.
Wow.
Many rewatches too. I really can't get enough of it, and I'm happy that you guys got hooked here. That's not to say though, this didn't hook everybody.
Sure.
And I can totally see why.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were like, "Oh, where's my cherry pie? Where's my coffee?" You've got Boop,
and you
this
got,
is what this is what he's been doing for 25 years.
You got Cooper, and you got coffee. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
It's like Boop is like Hawkeye during the blip. Just like off the rails, just
assassinating, really taking care of himself.
Like, I'm just gonna kill people from now on.
But I'm happy you guys are on board. I'd like to introduce a new segment.
Yeah, please.
This is a brand new segment where I'm gonna ask some questions. If you feel like answering them, you can. You don't have to. This is the first time we're doing this, so we're just gonna see what happens.
Oh, is this new to me as well?
This is a new segment called Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh.
Unsolved Mysteries. We had some fun today.
Clearly. I was not aware of this segment. Let's go.
What is in our house now?
The gramophone.
What? So what is our house? Whose house? And Jesus. Like, it's a question that asks more questions.
What does the Z on the coffee cup stand for?
Zebra.
I feel like the Z on the coffee is just to be a logo for whatever coffee shop Tracy, who is a bad girl, works at, because it's on her uniform. As she's disrobing, you see a Z pin or a Z logo etched into her collar.
You're a bad girl, Tracy.
She do.
Where did the glass box security guard go?
I feel like she had something to do with that.
Was Jerry Horn wearing his mother's hat?
Without a doubt. Mother's hat, as in it was hers that she wore, or... she knit it for him.
What was in Harvey's bag?
Cold, hard cash.
Bubble jug.
And the last unsolved mystery. Did the Morgans still come over for dinner?
How do you think they found Phyllis?
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Unsolved mysteries.
I have a segment as well. I like to call this one the Reddit Room. I've taken to Reddit and gone through some of the reaction and discussion threads and found a couple of the posts that I thought were worth noting and worth chatting about briefly.
What is Reddit?
It is a forum where people go to be awful to each other typically, but this time it is pretty good.
Sweet. I know how to internet.
Okay, so I really like this first post. This is from back when it originally premiered on Showtime. And by user Who Ate the Kids Then? And the post is just, oh my heart, RIP Catherine. This is referring to the Log Lady's conversation with Hawk, specifically at the end when she says, I'm too weak to go with you, after giving Hawk the information that he would need to find whatever it is that he needs to find. A pretty compelling thread just about how the character and the actress were very much one and the same in their dedication to their causes. Absolutely, if she could have gone with him, she would have. Yeah. I believe that entirely, and I think it would have been useful if the character was able to be there.
Absolutely. Also, could he not, like, take her log?
I think it's accepted that Hawk cannot convene with the log, and that really nobody else can. She is the vessel through which the log can speak. So having her come along would have absolutely helped, but both the character and the actress are both weak at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was really striking and compelling.
Yeah.
That was the Reddit room.
There's only one thing left to do, right?
I'd say so. It's time for Talking Foreheads.
Talking Foreheads.
I can't. I just can't.
James!
I would like the honors.
Please.
You
want to
take it first?
Yeah, first.
Just five.
A lot of fives.
Wow.
I am here for this. I want it all right now.
I want it all.
Give me it.
That's excellent. Like I said, I think it's just Twin Peaks back in the best way, and it's very exciting. I'm all in. I'm sold on everybody's stories. I'm sold on the mysteries. It's a five for me as well.
Just five.
Bring it in.
I'm very excited that you both are on board with what I've been thinking about for the last 3 years nonstop. I'm very excited for this journey. I've said this to you guys before, but just be prepared. There's a ton of fives coming for me. And
about 18 probably.
And don't tempt me. and this is one of them. This is a perfect way to kick this off. This is a five.
Just five.
So you have five. You have five. I gave like, I don't know, 45.
Well, there's a firm cap. Like, you can hit it as many times as you want, but you get 1 5 foreheads per.
Talking foreheads.
And this is only the beginning.
We have done it. We are in season 3, aka The Return. I'm sure we missed a lot of stuff, and I'm sure that there are questions. I'm sure there are questions a lot of people have that we probably have too, but anything that you think we might be able to answer or have some insight on, you can hit us up at talkingbackwardspod@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram at talkingbackwardspod. Patrick?
You can hit us up on Twitter at talkingbackward.
Tyler?
Anchor.
You can find me on Patreon.
I have a few Egg Devler shout-outs for our Patreon subscribers. Thank you, Agent Ivy, Kelly Spears, Raced, Evan Sotelo, Lauren Rice, Jenny Ward, Stephen Coughlin, Stephen Hines, and Sycophanny. If you'd like a special shout out just like this one, join us over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
We'll see you next week for The Stars Turn and A Time Presents Itself,
aka part two.
Do?
Yeah.
You do?
Part deuce.
I do?
I do.
I do? You do?